you like to party?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to see. Get a couple tickets to see the Patriots and Colts this Thursday night over there at Gillette Stadium. Yesterday, Wallach and I went over to the wonderful Warrior Ice Arena. The Bruins were fantastic to us. We requested three people, and we got them. And this is Bruce Cassidy. Now, what happened that's interesting is that the guy who came to get the audio completely screwed everything up. So you'll notice, now bear with us because Rich is gone and he's done some things to this audio, but what you'll notice is that the audio, not great the first 2 minutes, audible. It's audible.
Mm-hmm.
But then 2 minutes in, like wildfire.
Boom. It's what it should have been. I have to be honest, I'm impressed that you got Zdeno Chara to laugh. Like I thought that was a good interview. Obviously, talking about his childhood, that was great. But the fact that he expanded on his rowdy rooster ride,
yeah, the rooster
from
ride
Canobie Lake.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, that was your suggestion, is to bring up the rowdy rooster.
Well, what he did was he brought up also that he went to Disney apparently with his family and waited all the way to the end of the line, and then ended up holding up the line because he couldn't fit on whatever roller coaster they were trying
then
to.
Then had
on.
To walk back through the entire crowd,
right,
showing
everyone
like,
"Who's this
why?
Jackass?" And then they saw him and up front said, "I'm not going to make fun of this jackass."
Seeing him smile in person is an odd experience.
Oh, there's that picture of him across from Sidney Crosby. Remember when they were Sidney Crosby's trying to pick a fight with Chara, and Chara just looks at him and laughs?
Yeah.
It's one of the most terrifying pictures I've seen.
Hey, he wasn't terrifying, but I've never seen him personally. And we've known, I mean, Chara's been, with 12 years we've known Chara, right? 12 years?
Yep.
And I've never seen him smile in person. So it was an odd thing. But we sit down with Bruce Cassidy, who always seems to be forthright, and here it is. Bruce Cassidy, he is the coach of the Boston Bruins, and he joins us here at Media Day. Hello, sir.
That's right. How are you?
Do you know my name just like that?
I do. I've been on before.
You know what? That's impressive. You're like Bill Clinton stuff. Like, when you people meet Bill Clinton, they go, oh, and he, like, remembers people's names,
right.
and then you feel this affinity towards them.
Yeah, that's, I think George Bush used to give out nicknames to everyone. That's how he remembered everyone's name. So these presidents, they got away doing
impressive.
Things, I guess. Yeah,
he wasn't as smart as Clinton, though. But, all right, so you, here's the start of the season, and I understand you were just upstairs and that you made an announcement about Tory Krug. What is the situation defensively right now?
He's 3 weeks minimum. They'll reevaluate. Same foot, but not the same injury. Hopefully we get good news in 3 weeks. He'll be in a walking boot. He'll come out of that. Best case scenario is probably then a month. After that, if it's something worse, then if the doctors decide how long-term it'll be.
What does that mean for the kids who might want an extra spot? Like Backanainen, for example, does that guarantee him a roster spot for Wednesday?
No, because Grzelcyk is back skating, so we'd probably use him. He had a real good year last year. But it would certainly put Backanainen a lot closer, especially if Grzelcyk isn't ready. And with that amount of time, if there's another injury, then potentially could see some action early on. He's been good.
All right, so you go into this offseason. Obviously, you guys were interested in Tavares, and then he goes... Toronto. How disappointing was that? And not so much that he didn't come to you guys, but he went to someone in your division.
Well, that's a bit of a, a kick in the butt, that part of it. I mean, we would have liked to get him in a Bruins uniform, but if not, we'd rather see him out west. But that's the way it goes. Toronto's got a lot of good young players coming, so they're going to be a good team with or without John Tavares, but makes them that much better. But we just got to be that much more prepared to play them. I think competition around you usually brings out the best in you, so we'll look at it that way.
Do you think Babcock gets too much credit? Like that people go, oh, well, Babcock's got all these kids and, he's had this success. Do you think that's a little bit overrated?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Loaded.
I think he's a very good coach.
Sure.
Does he get too much credit? I don't know. I mean, they haven't accomplished any level of playoff success yet. It looks like it's coming and they're trending in the right direction. So until that happens, it's hard for me to comment on another team, especially in our division that we beat last year in the playoffs. So I think more about our own team, to be honest with you.
You're dealing with a ton of young talent and you've had success. Now, granted, your core
is a little bit older, but you've been able to kind of put these guys in positions and been able to win.
Yeah, and that's the challenge for me, like a lot of our second year and third year players, to continued success, right? Be consistent, win every year. That's the way I look at it for my own personal career. You know, if you do a good job and the players are ready and excited to come to the rink and they win, then you look good. If not, you don't. So that's what Mike has been able to do over the years. He's been consistently good, and so he's a good role model in that regard.
All right, let's move on from that. Now, you do have a lot of young talent, and obviously it would probably be nice for you if you could move some veterans and some proven guys into positions. And you have, like, a ton of young talent, and maybe is it, and you can never have too much, but is there like a backup now where there just aren't enough positions for some of these guys?
Yeah, I think a guy like Bjork, who had an injury last year, so it set him back in terms of his time and getting back into camp. So he only played one game, but he looked good the other night. And what I mean, he could always skate, but he was stronger on pucks, so he looked like he's a year more mature, understands the game a little better. But right now, with, you know, DeBrusque, who's young, Donato, who's young, Heinen's young, even Pasternak's still a young guy. There's only so much room at the end. But, you know, if he goes and plays, if it ends up being in Providence or he gets into our lineup and plays well, then we got to look at how we make up our lines. Maybe we need more skill in the bottom of the lineup if that's what you have. Right now, we use more of a you know, rugged type of players down in that lineup, so he could open doors for himself that way. But I think it's great to have that depth. It, you know, might free up to move a player or two to you know, shore up another area. So I don't think you can ever have enough good players, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's kind of my point, is that do you see a time where, okay, we've built this depth, we've got these young guys, we've drafted well, you know, by far the majority recently, you've drafted very well. Do you see a point where, all right, we have to start turning these pieces into something that is a proven player?
Well, we did a little bit of that last year with Rick Nash. Didn't work out the way we wanted to. He got hurt, unfortunately. But yeah, down the road, I think that's something Donnie, you know, that's his decision. But if we feel we're close enough to the Stanley Cup, a player or two away, then you got to look at that avenue. And to have these guys around to be able to either move them or plug them in for the young guy you moved, I think is a big bonus. We saw two more of them this year. This Axel Anderson, we picked in the second round, looked really good. Vaakanainen, we just talked about. Lauko had a good couple exhibition games as a young third rounder. So if it looks like these guys down the road can plug in, then yeah, that's something that I think that anybody would look at.
All right, so Tuukka Rask plays golf at Woodland, and everyone's very excited about that. So I'm not.
Is he any good? He's never had me over there.
I don't know. He never has me over there, too. But you know how these guys are. They get very excited when they see a famous athlete playing around. Like, Belichick's, like, trainers there, and they're like, ooh. So I do like Tuukka Rask, but you did get Halak. And Halak is obviously has a history of starting and being the main guy. Do you see a scenario where, if you feel that Rask is kind of going through a bad spell and that he could use some time off, that Halak could take, you know, a couple weeks and start in goal?
Well, we could certainly get him consecutive starts and then go from there. We did that last year with Hudobin. You know, Tuukka had an injury early on, and he just wasn't where he needed to be for whatever reason. So we went with Dobie, who happened to be on top of his game, got us out of a tough stretch out that Western road trip, and then Tuukka went back in. I don't think he lost a game for 6 weeks, so clearly he got the rest he needed. So we'd do it again if need be. Halak's a proven guy. You know, plenty of starts in this league, so I don't see that as being an issue if we have to go down that road at all.
I wanted to ask you about Patrice Bergeron. You just told the media upstairs he looks good, and more than likely he'll be a goal for opening night, but because he's been hurt a few years now at one point or another, do you see a way you could possibly limit his minutes early on to have him well rested for the stretch, simply because of his age and how he's been banged up a little bit the last few years?
Limiting his minutes, I think what I've looked to do is limit the how hard are the minutes. And what I mean by that is we've taken him out of some of those D-zone matchups that he used to be automatic on. We've used our fourth line to do that. So a little lighter minutes in the offensive zone, maybe where he's not necessarily playing against their best player every shift, every night. That's what we've tried to do. I think his minutes will always be around 20. Game will dictate that. We've tried to cut it back on games if we've had the luxury of having a league, but I don't know that his minutes will go down much, to be honest with you. It's just how hard are those minutes going to be.
All right, do you feel more comfortable going into this season than before? Do you, with the development of the talent and, you know, the young guys with another year of experience under the belt?
I do, but you also have, I think we have higher expectations. So there's a little bit of, there's always going to be that point of pressure there. And this, especially in this market, people expect their teams to win, and we're no different. We expect to win. We expect to be better than last year. So there's that amount of pressure. But, yeah, I'm a little more comfortable being around these guys. I think that's normal. They're more comfortable. I think we all are.
So you look at the players around there, the Tampa and the Toronto, and they're a favorite above you, and you say that's a bunch of crap. I don't like that at all.
I agree. I see why. Tampa has had a nice run with their core for 5 or 6 years now. They had the one hiccup where they missed the playoffs, but half their team was hurt. So I get that. Toronto, a lot of buzz about Tavares, the young players. There's a lot of buzz about our young players and teams. So I think, like last year, I'm assuming all three teams are going to be pretty close, and it's going to go down to the wire, you know, who separates from who.
All right, just one more suggestion. Jaromír Jágr seems like he's still in hockey shape.
We're going to pass.
Oh, my God. Are you afraid of what will happen to the women in the stands? That there will be too many panties thrown on the ice?
No, we're just going to pass.
Well, the women of Boston are no longer Cassidy fans. Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it. It's Toucher and Rich at Bruins Media Day.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and there's no shortages of coaches taking themselves too seriously. Pro, college, high school levels, Pee-wee levels. You can see it all. There is something about being a man in charge of other men that makes people very pleased with themselves.
Is Mike Gundy the, I'm a man, I'm 40?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, I thought that was him.
Yeah, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike Gundy is seems like a real piece of crap. By the way, I heard ESPN radio yesterday for the first time in a long time, and they were discussing, I guess, Jimbo Fisher grabbed a kid by the face mask and was yelling at him.
I saw that. Yep. He, like, yanked him around.
Yep. And there was so they were like, yeah, you know, and they were very, very careful with their words. And they're like, you know, from what I saw in that situation, you know, I don't know, but da-da-da. And then someone called in, they said, there's no place for that in college football. And they're like, yeah, probably not. It was like, just like, what are you doing?
You like opinions? Don't listen.
It was like, what are you doing? And then the guy said that he never played football, but he was a classically trained musician, and he would get yelled at a lot when he was like playing the violin.
Here's the thing. I'm a soccer coach. That's what it was. Somebody calling in and saying, I'm an expert at something.
No, but it was just odd that he was, and he's like, you know the movie Whiplash? That was just what it was like. And I'm like, no, it wasn't, jackass.
And by the way, I saw that, I mean, when they, that thing you're talking about with Jimbo Fisher, that was in high school. I saw that stuff happen all the time.
Yeah, things were a little different. But yeah, the guy had gotten in a fight in the field, and Jimbo Fisher was trying to tell him not to do that anymore. The only guy I would, it's not an issue because it's never going to happen, but the only guy I can think of off the top of my head I wouldn't want my kid playing for is Kelly at Notre Dame. Kelly at Notre Dame is just like little man's complex, just screaming and yelling at everyone and failing. All right. So anyway, this Mike Gundy guy, he had a receiver transfer, and he said that he would revoke the access from any reporters that asked about it. So, you know, I'm going to revoke. And you know what you should say? Good. Let's all revoke all our accesses, you dumbass, with your big Oklahoma State job, you hillbilly. Good. So no one talks about
it. How about somebody asks it? You control the narrative by answering the question in the way that you want it answered.
No, but
and
he's
then
the
it's
big,
done.
No, but he's the big coach. He can tell everyone what to do.
How do these guys not know? They just make the situation 10 times worse when they do this.
And how about you know that you're a stupid football coach and that the kid's going to transfer? So what? Answer the question.
Right. This isn't Watergate.
Yeah. You're not on trial. You're not represented by a lawyer, stupid. Get up there and answer the stupid question. What is he? The kid, I can tell you one thing. At Oklahoma State, they're not busy in study hall. Oklahoma State, there's coloring 101, painting with fingers. Oklahoma State. Yeah, I couldn't quite make it in Oklahoma. Got to go to Oklahoma State. All right, so anyway, so these guys, and this would be so great for a Patriots conference call. It would just be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, this is the way, so a lot of these conference calls have it where the media calls in and you've got the coach on one end of the line. There's usually a PR person who's listening in, who's kind of guiding them through who they're going to be speaking with. And you kind of got to beep yourself in and you're kind of one by one ask your questions. So apparently somebody got the call in line and gave it to a couple of his buddies. Somebody who obviously had heard that he was cutting off reporters and being a jackass. So here's how things went when several people got the interview call in line and hijacked the press conference.
By the way, 5 minutes before your Patriots tickets.
Your first question is from Brett Kruckenbach, BeatThe12.com.
Hi, Mike. Congratulations on the victory. I thought you brought up a really interesting point after the game on Saturday. You said people focusing on the wrong things is what's kind of driving this country into the ground. What other aspects of people doing their jobs do you have a problem with?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, that's another thing, is he was acting like he was, you know, the president of the United States. He was acting like, you know, people asking the wrong questions are driving this country into the ground. That's a good point. You're right. The one thing that we have to worry about as a country is reporters asking questions. That's the number one issue on the table right now. And I mean, Mike Gundy, the coach of Oklahoma State, I mean, how many people are above you in this world? How many people rank above you? And the questions keep getting better.
Your next question is from Rich Mitchum, CFB Daily.
Hey, Coach. Great win on Saturday in Lawrence. Really impressive performance offensively, and I think even more specifically through the air. Especially impressive considering you did it all without Jalen McCleskey. Can you give a quick update on his status moving forward?
Jalen McCleskey is transferring. I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over the papers. It was on billboards. I mean, hasn't anyone turned on the news lately? Right.
People in Wyoming are screaming, angry that he's transferring.
And once you lose Jalen McCleskey, I mean, the whole program's in shambles now. And now here is the coup de grace. And by the way, this speaks of the intelligence of this coach, that he can't figure out this last one is a scam.
Your next question is from Trey Anastasio, Stillwater Tribune.
By the way, isn't that the singer of Fish? Yeah, it is. Trey Anastasio.
All right, no, I don't like this. It's kind of... Hopefully that was an ironic twist. Hoping that the coach would bite and say he likes their music.
Hey, Mike, good morning to you, man.
Good morning.
I know it's been kind of a frustrating 7 days or so, which I don't really think is right because y'all played a heck of a game on Saturday. Seems like a lot of these reporters don't have any respect for your unwarranted petulance, and I, for one, can't believe...
Yes. This guy's good. Yeah.
Seems like a lot of these reporters don't have any respect for your unwarranted petulance, and I, for one, can't believe they'd have the nerve to do their jobs and not kowtow to your empty threats. I guess what I'm really saying is, it's 2018, do we really even need freedom of press anymore?
I'm not sure what you're asking. I'm not sure what you're asking.
Yeah, good. You're really quick on the draw there,
yeah, you,
jackass.
You can hear the publicist using her like a little thing to type. This is not my fault. I had no idea these calls were getting through.
He has no idea what's going on.
Oh, I think after that one.
I don't think he does.
No.
I'm not sure he knows what petulance means.
No, I'm with Fred. I think he's lost. I think he's not quite sure what just happened. He's very confused.
Apparently, at some point, he figured out he's being messed with, and the moderator apologized for letting the fake reporters through.
Was it 3 days later when he read about it?
I'm just reading it, because that's the only audio that I've heard, and apparently he said, it's okay, we have a lot of fraudulent people in the world.
That's right. They do, and he's dealing with all of them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
As being the coach of Oklahoma State football, the weight of the world on your shoulders, you jackass. I can't... Oh, boy. What to do? The eyes of the nation are upon us as Oklahoma State football players. from the Statue of Liberty to the white sandy beaches of Santa Monica. The whole world is in rapt attention of what's going on at Oklahoma State football.
If you want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes.
Go after me.
You go after one that doesn't do the right things. You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday.
That's
you
right.
Let us make that decision.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you make $5 billion. Yeah, you let us make the decision. To what? To who to insult? Screw, God, I hate all these people. I'm Oklahoma State football coach. Ski!
Well, the best is that you found out just how fraudulent Nick Saban is in that new book. Is apparently Nick Saban, who Mr. I hate talking to the media, I hate doing this, was pissed that Bill Belichick didn't let him speak to the media.
Yeah, because he wanted that slice of that sweet Michigan State job, which he then turned around and screwed him. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Now the pressure goes to our young Nicholas. We'll score a pair, because he's answering the phone, we'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Indianapolis this Thursday night at Gillette Stadium. Hopefully, when the pressure of rooting for the home team weighs on you, you can somehow get through it. Rich, what will we talk about?
Danny Ainge is a master ball buster when it comes to his own players. We now have a little bit of a sense of what Le'Veon Bell's plan is, and we have the early reactions to the movie Venom. I will give you that.
Here are headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, the stack, is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Well, it seems like we know now what the plan is for Le'Veon Bell. He talked to ESPN yesterday, and he said that he's indeed going to be playing football in 2018 and does not expect to be traded. In fact, he still has hope that the team's going to re-sign him to a long-term contract once his franchise tag is home. He said he's staying away from the team to preserve his body. He saw what happened with what's-his-name up in Seattle and was like Earl Thomas and said, now you know why I'm doing what I'm doing. But a source said that Bell's expected to report during week 7 to 8, that time frame. The Steelers are on a bye week in week 7. And we've been predicting this, it's not anything mysterious, is because he has to come back by that time in order to get credit for playing for this year so he can actually finish out his contract with the Steelers. Now, he's going to be back for his matchup with the Cleveland Browns on October 28th in Pittsburgh. And he's going to decide how much practice time he needs accordingly, according to his source. So he's still sitting out while refusing to sign his franchise tender. Said he's in physical condition and can play football tomorrow if needed. He said he's been working out in South Miami, even though you've been seeing pictures of him out clubbing during games and partying on boats and the such. He says, quote, I want to play. I want to win games and the playoffs, but I got to take this stand knowing my worth and knowing I can tear a ligament or get surgery at any time. I knew I couldn't play 16 games with 400 or more touches. Well, to that might scare away a team.
I get the ball too much. Please don't give me the ball as much.
I'm getting to my expiration date, and I carried the ball 5 billion times at Michigan State.
Yeah.
I don't have much tread left on these tires.
So he has lost almost, I think it's just over $3 million. It's like $850,000 per game that he is going to be out. So he believes it's worth it. He said he did a cost-benefit analysis as to how much money he believes he would make if he continued his holdout. And to that I say, no, you didn't. Your agent did. So he is right now expected to be back on week 8. So anyone who has stashed them on their fantasy team, then you just got to stash them just a little bit longer. Now, we've talked about how ridiculous those gender reveal parties and things are. I know that you're obsessed with Bird when his friend did that out in Everett. They had a
just because the sheer amount of people that were just mingling around.
And you know what? We were talking to Gordon Hayward, and Gordon Hayward made a great point. You know, he had that whole thing where it opened up and it was a girl, and he already had like 2 or 3 girls, and he's like, daddy's always
kicking those pink balloons all over the place.
Yeah. But he made a great point, and that is that no guy wants to do this, and the only reason women seem to want to do it, at least according to Gordon Hayward, is the reason his wife wanted to do it, is because she didn't want anyone to think she was just getting fat.
Yeah.
So that's almost like the way of just announcing it to everyone and making a big deal out of it so people aren't just like, hey, you're gaining weight, and not saying anything about it.
You could just say, I'm pregnant.
You could, but you
two
need something big and extravagant.
Instagram,
if it's not Instagrammable, Fred, are you really pregnant?
I mean, you could just take a picture of the, what do you call it there, the ultrasound.
It's like if your meal isn't Instagrammable, did you really eat at that restaurant?
I know people that actually take picture of food.
Fred, there are restaurants now that almost specifically make meals and like dessert items because they want you to Instagram them. I went to a steakhouse the other day that had an Instagram table. It was designed for you to, you could reserve it, and it's called like the $10,000 table, and there's lights on it that you can press buttons that give you certain colors so you can Instagram and do all your stuff.
That's
now,
insane.
The requirement is that you got to call in advance and get it, and also that you have to use the hashtag that the restaurant can use in order for you to sit at the $10,000 Instagram table.
That's insane. If it's called $10,000, then you know it's something else.
Well, it costs $10,000 to make, and to that I say, I don't want to be a douche. Well, as far as these gender parties are concerned, here's the ultimate argument against it. An Arizona man just wanted to reveal to the world the gender of his wife's soon-to-be-born baby. Instead, he set off a 47,000-acre wildfire that cost $8 million. As a result, this guy, Dennis Dickey, is now on the hook for $220,000 in penalties. So last year, the off-duty Border Patrol agent shot a target filled with the explosive Tannerite. We've seen those videos before where guys like shoot something in the woods and it explodes.
Hell
real
yeah.
Big. And it had this colored powder in it, blue for a boy, pink for a girl. And on a dry and windy day in Green Valley, Arizona, the ensuing blast started a brush fire that quickly spiraled out of control into what became known as the Sawmill Fire.
Yeah, what does orange and red searing flame mean?
It means your kid's going to grow up broke because daddy's going to be paying for this for a long time.
It just comes out, hey, your child's going to be an arsonist.
Your kid's not going to college. It took about 800 firefighters close to a week to finally control it. He said, I absolutely feel horrible about it in court. It was probably one of the worst days of my life.
Oh, yeah, well, it's got to be up there.
Now, because it was an accident, how is that like an accident? You're blowing up something with Tannerite. You knew something bad was going to happen. They said Dickey wasn't charged with arson because I play cards with the sheriff for laws on my side. Oh. And he's expected to keep his border control job. Luckily, the fires caused no injuries. He had to immediately dip into his retire fund to hand over $100,000 and he'll make payments of $500 a year for 20 years, according to the newspaper out there.
Made that a little easier for him. I mean, the $100,000 is a nice chunk, but I think everyone could scrap together $500 if you've been at the job long enough.
He said he will also make a public service announcement, presumably to warn other excited dads-to-be to skip the Tannerite.
I thought it was a big enough name when Scott Baio would do him about not smoking weed, but now you get the, hey, I'm the moron that blew up the forest. Take
That's
it from
it
me.
Starts.
Don't blow a force.
Sure. And by the way, the coverage does not mention whether he's having a boy or a girl. I guess that didn't really matter. So
the wife ran away. She headed to the hills.
Yes, they did. Well, the early reactions to the movie Venom, starring Tom Hardy, has been coming out, trickling out as of last night. And it is not the most positive of reviews. As a matter of fact, these aren't from professional reviews. These are just people who ended up seeing it at screenings. And one guy said, I'm fascinated with Venom. The cast seems to know they're in a darker superhero movie, except Tom Hardy, who is basically remaking Jim Carrey's Liar Liar. He said, I actually kind of liked watching this movie in a Rocky Horror type of way. At one point, Tom Hardy and Venom make out. Well, that's a little odd. Now, I do know that Tom Hardy came out yesterday. Listen, things you don't say when you're promoting your film. He came out and said, you know what? The best 30 to 40 minutes of this movie were cut out of the final edit. So I just want to let you guys know that.
Now, who's Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy, he was Bane in Batman, okay. the Batman that wasn't good.
Yeah.
He was in Inception. He was in Bronson. A bunch of other things. Oh, Mad Max. He's Mad Max. Oh, The Revenant. He was the bad guy in The Revenant.
All right. So is Venom a boy or a girl?
Venom is a goo that overtakes your body and turns you into like someone evil. It talks to you. It gets in your psyche. It's from the Spider-Man cartoons.
Can I smooch it?
Apparently in the movie, he does smooch it.
Well, anything else? Can I get second base?
Maybe. Maybe you can.
Can I round for third?
I mean, it's your own body because Venom takes over your own body. So, yeah, a little self-love, self-venom love. I don't see why there's a problem
with
that.
That's a home run right there?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. I guess you can, if you have Venom taking over your soul, then I guess you can.
But he makes out with himself? Like, he puts his arms around himself and then goes...
I don't know if it's one of those things like in those 80s comedies where they'd put you'd see the hands rubbing on their back and you realize it was their own hands.
Is it like Sarge, who I would imagine practicing kissing on a Hulk Hogan doll?
Why are all these holes in this thing? Well,
no, that's just for smooching.
That is for smooching.
The Brett the Hitman Hart pillow is what takes the brunt of the abuse.
It could be. Well, Danny Ainge is one to bust the balls of his players, especially on Twitter. Yesterday, Jay King of The Athletic tweeted out, Rozier talking about his shoe deal, quote, I'm trying to have some drip, come out with some drip, mainly for the young kids. Puma's the new wave. You can get on the train or get lost. It don't really matter to me. It don't help me out. I'm going to still come through with the drip regardless. And Danny Ainge tweeted that and said, if I could get one drop of that drip, would I be cool?
You know who's a real drip? That Kavanaugh fella.
All right. Is it, you should actually send that to the Capitol steps. That old guy who makes the musicals about the White House.
With all the boofing and devil's three ways, he's a real drip.
Is that what you would call him, a drip? Did you hear the story about how he got in a fight
yeah,
after a UB40 show, and he thought he was actually getting in a fight with the singer of UB40?
He should be thrown in jail just for going to UB40 show.
What Red, are you going
to do tonight? Let's listen to like in a completely white reggae band that plays very softly.
Are they completely white? Because I thought that they would stick like, I thought there was like a mix.
I get them confused with poo.
Their music is just awful.
I mean, Red Red Wine, if I heard it a couple more times, I could get behind
it. It's kind of an underground hit.
It's like, hey, what do you guys want to do? I don't know. You want to check out the UBs? Yeah, let's go get them.
I heard John Oliver say, and the least shocking thing of his report was apparently he got in a fight on a yacht in Rhode Island because he looks exactly like the kind of guy who would get in a fight on a yacht in Rhode Island.
Yeah, he seems like he did not come off well in his testimony.
Where LAX, the Los Angeles International Airport, is now saying that you are allowed to bring small amounts of legal marijuana through security.
Oh, yeah!
And in your carry-on bags. Now, that doesn't mean you can toke up at the airport, but because...
That doesn't stop them from doing it. When I was at LAX, I've never seen more people smoking weed in my entire life.
Like after they got through security?
No.
They probably just say, we got to get rid of this before we get on a plane.
In LA, there's really no rules restricting anything with it. And so it's just, I mean, people, like a quarter of the people I saw on the street or at the airport were smoking weed.
When I was in Vegas back in March, they had a weed depository box for like right by security, so you didn't go through security. And then if you end up getting on a plane and flying to a place where it's illegal, I mean, you could get in pretty big trouble. And I think if you go from like one state line to another, it makes it even worse. But you would just deposit in there, and I'm just, you know, thinking that there's some dude just roaming the airport, just putting his hand in there and trying to get himself a nice little score.
Well, hopefully they, you know, can really crack down on people taking small amounts of weed and bringing them into another state. That's how I want my tax money spent. Well, I'll tell you this, Rich, is that there's a show coming up called Zolak and Bertrand, and a very big show tomorrow.